welcome to sing along. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Way beyond the blue, I got home in glory land that outshines the sun. I got home in glory land that outshines the sun. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun, way beyond the blue. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me, way beyond the blue. I took Jesus for my Savior, you take him too. I took Jesus for my Savior, you take him too. I took Jesus for my Savior, you take him too. Way beyond the blue, sing out. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Way beyond the blue.
I'm going to do one. I don't know if you've heard it or not. It's one that I used to do when I lived in West Virginia. There was a singer named Ralph Stanley. If you saw Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, he's the one that was singing Oh Death. I'm going to do one of his numbers for you right now. Do it in the Appalachian way. They call it Appalachian now. They've changed the term a little. Children, go where I send thee. How will I send thee? I'm gonna send thee one by one, one for the little bitty baby born. Children born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How will I send thee? I'm gonna send thee two by two, two perf ball and silence, one for the little bitty baby born. Children born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How will I send thee? I'm gonna send thee three by three, three for the Hebrew children, two for Paul and Silas, one for the little bitty baby born. Children born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How will I send thee? I'm going to send thee four by four, four for the four that stood at the door, three for the Hebrew children, two for Paul and Silas, one for the little bitty baby born. Children born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How will I send thee? I'm going to send thee five by five, five for the five that stayed alive, four for the four that stood at the door, three for the Hebrew children, two for Paul and Silas, one for the little bitty baby born. Children born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How will I send thee? I'm gonna send thee 10 by 10, 10 for the 10 commandments, 9 for the pine that dressed so fine, 8 for the 8 that stood at the gate, 7 for the 7 that never got to heaven, 6 for the 6 that never got fixed, 5 for the 5 that stayed alive, 4 for the 4 that stood at the door, 3 for the Hebrew children born in Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. Thank you.
Thank you, Deck. Good morning. My name is Pastor Tori. I don't need this. I'm going to put this back here. My name is Pastor Tori. We'd love to welcome you here to Union Congregational. We're no matter who you are or where you are in your life's journey, that you are welcome here. and wanted to remind you of a few things. First and foremost, if you have a hard time hearing me, we have hearing devices back straight out that door and to the right. They're a little FM radio that you can plug in your ear. That way I can talk to you straight into your ear, and hopefully you will hear me better. And also, second, if you are visiting with us and you want to keep in contact, or if you have had an address or a phone number or an email change, there are these little slips of paper that should be right in front of you in your pew. If you'd like to fill those out and then just fold them up, drop them in the offering plate as it comes by later in the service, that would be great. And also on the back is a prayer request. If you have a prayer request that is more personal, because later on we share together prayer requests out loud, but if this is something that you kind of is more personal and you don't want to share it with everybody, just write it on the back, again, fold it up, put it in the offering plate, and it's for my eyes only. So also wanted to remind you that it is Stewardship Month, and for those who have received a letter in the mail with a little envelope, to get those back in to Don Hoppe as soon as you can, and I am looking forward to what God is doing through the ministry and through the finances of this church. I think people have been very faithful. And so I want to encourage you guys to do that. And we're going to have a stewardship moment later on in the service. Are there any other announcements?
Armed and ready. Does anybody have any announcements?
If you're writing for the newsletter, the deadline is Wednesday.
Also, for our summer visitors, the slip that you can put address changes if you know the date that you are leaving and the address you're leaving to, if it's different than the one you've used in the past, put that date on as well so that we'll know to send you the newsletter and any communication to your correct address.
There is going to be a free tech class tomorrow afternoon at the Hub at 1 o'clock. If you can't figure out how to use your phone or have questions about your computer, Bill Kennedy's really good at answering. So 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
At the Hub. 1 o'clock at the Hub.
I just wanted to remind everyone that following the service, there will be a very interesting water forum in the Friendship Hall. After we've had time to visit a little bit.
One other thing, if your birthday is not showing up in the bulletins, it might be that we don't have it in the system. So on that slip that you have address changes and everything, if you want to put one in and say what your birth date is, you don't have to say the year if you don't want to, just the month and the day, we'll put it in the system.
I think you need to say your year.
Let's boot her out. No. Oh, gosh. Good morning, everyone. We've been in the kitchen preparing a wonderful refreshment for you for after the service, but we'd also like to mention that next Sunday, we will be having a large, almost 40-person choir here, and it's the Central Minnesota Adult Teen Challenge Choir, and they sing wonderful, inspiring music, and they also tell stories of hope and redemption overcoming addiction, and there will be a fabulous brunch afterwards as well, so please invite your friends and family. This is open to the public. There is no cost for the choir concert. However, they do gratefully accept donations. So next Sunday, here in the service, 9 a.m. Thank you.
Any other announcements? Myra, you only can have one.
This is the fish fry for Trey. I forgot to mention it. Saturday night, here at UCC. Fish
yes.
fries. Watch the bulletins.
Yeah. Thank you.
And also next Saturday will be our dreaming.
Yes, our reminiscing and dreaming with the pastor, which there's more information in the bulletin in there. I am sure that many of you got emails, and I have been harping on people like crazy. It's a very important meeting if you can come. It's open to the entire congregation, not just leadership. And it will be kind of an interesting experience, and I'm looking very, very much looking forward to it. Any other announcements? Going once, going twice, three times, okay. Let's prepare our hearts and our minds for worship in a time of silence. Join me in the call to worship. We come to worship to meet with God. It is not in heaven, but it is in this world that we meet God. In our daily lives and in our humanity is where we can meet the divine.
God made us responsible for our world and generously gave us all we need.
We are stewards of God's gifts, our possessions, our finances. Our time and our talent have all been given to us because of God's goodness.
God is good and faithful to use what we give back to God, to further the kingdom of heaven here on this earth.
Let us praise and worship our God. Join with me in prayer. God of all creation, thank you for giving good gifts to your children. We come to this place today to worship you and to learn more about you. Focus our minds, soften our hearts, awaken our spirit to what you have to say to us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please join me in singing I Saw the Light. Hank Williams Sr. wrote that one night, driving down the mountain into Nashville, and there's a beacon on top of one of the buildings. This song came to him. He got out of the bus and wrote it right there. So,
stand if you are able.
I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like the blind man, I wandered alone. Worried and fears I claimed for my own. Then like a blind man I gave it back aside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy to sorrow. I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is a gate and narrows the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
That was fun. You may be... Oh, wait. I thought it sounded so much fun, I forgot where I was. Oh, the peace of God be with you. Let us greet our friends and neighbors with the peace of Christ.
I love Yeah, you need a banjo with some of these songs.
Oh yeah, for sure. That was
Thank you. I realized that was going to take about 10 minutes if we did all 10 verses, so I went from 5 right to 10.
And I think that was
You may be seated.
I'm going to sing a song about one of God's creatures, if that's okay with everybody. It's one that I wrote about the monarch butterfly. And this is monarch season. You see those orange-winged butterflies all over now. Come September, they're going to fly all the way to central Mexico. They're one of the very few non-birds that migrates. So this is called Fly Away to Mexico. Fly away, fly away to Mexico, fly away, fly away to Mexico. Radiant pearl, beauty beyond belief. Tiny pearl on a soft green leaf. Bands of black, warning all that's bad. Circles of yellow. No, I'm not so sad. Late summer flight to Mexico, Mariposa Magnifico. Fly away, fly away to Mexico. Climb so high, climb up to the sky. Golden thread, yeah, the thread of life. He's a king, monarch of all the land. Gentle soul, we may never understand. Mexico keeps calling, something in my gene. I'll just keep flying to a place I've never seen on orange wings. Fly away to Mexico. Fly away. Fly away to Mexico. Fly away.
Thank you, Dick. It's good having you here.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading today You will see in your bulletins it just says Acts. No, we're not reading the whole book. But I didn't really know what scripture to read until later this week. And our scripture reading today is in Acts 12, verse 25 through chapter 13, 1 through 3. Hear the word of the Lord. And after completing their mission, Barnabas and Saul returned to Jerusalem and brought with them John, whose other name was Mark. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was also called Niger, Lucius the Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the ruler, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Here ends the reading of God's word. In 2007, I was part of a church that took a mission trip down to Fort Myers, Florida, an area where we worked on hurricane relief. Hurricane Katrina devastated many areas in the United States, and our country really wasn't prepared for the damage that it caused. FEMA housing was limited, and government assistance was wearing out. 2 years after the hurricane, people were still waiting to have their homes fixed. And for many of them, after 2 years, mission organizations was really their last hope. Heidi, I'm going to have you keep that, and you can do it. I was excited to go on this trip and work on homes. We had a professional contractor with us who knew what he was doing. We had a group of 13 people who were very skilled. And I myself knew a little bit and had some experience in insulation and, believe it or not, drywall. And I really wanted to sharpen my skills. We got down there, and our first project was to work on this woman's home. They had already stripped down the studs by a previous group, and we needed to go in and put in insulation and drywall. The woman's son was in his 20s, and you could tell that he had been through some hard things in life. He didn't trust anybody. And we were there, and when we were there, he pretty much yelled at us and told us that we were doing it wrong. A guy named Don and I spent the entire first day putting up insulation in the ceilings, in the walls, and we worked really hard on it to get it done. And most of the house was insulated by the end of the first day. We were tired, but we felt good about the progress that we made. The next day, we showed up and walked into our space where we were working to see all the insulation ripped out of the walls, ripped out of the ceiling, and just laying there on the floor. All of it. We were disheartened and discouraged, and it was like the wind was just knocked right out of us. Apparently, this 20-something-year-old knew, or thought he knew, more than our professional contractor, and he destroyed all of our work. And then we were told to get off the property. We went back to our base, and we waited for our next assignment. By the afternoon, we went to another home that had not even been started yet. Our job was to do demo. We met the family. It was a husband and wife in their 60s, and they were incredibly kind and generous to us. They were so happy that we were there. And they shared with us about how God has used their home over the years to shelter those who are homeless. They had been doing this ministry for over 20 years. And after hearing story after story about what God was doing in their lives and through them, I was excited to work on their house. Our first job, tear out the drywall down to the studs. Our second job, tear out the tiles in the bathroom. Our third job, tear out the ceiling in all the bedrooms. And our fourth job, tear off the shingles of the roof. By the last day, I felt horrible. All we did was destroy things. I felt like we just made things worse. And I know that that's not the process. I know that you have to demo in order to build it up, but all we did was demo. And I felt like I destroyed more than I built, and I felt like I damaged more than I helped. And that trip took an emotional toll on me. I felt like I had been on kind of this roller coaster all week, where we walk into a situation and we had a good start, only to be stopped to have our work destroyed. And then we went to another house and heard these amazing stories of what this couple has been through, and we leave their house and have it looking worse than what we came in. At the end of the trip, I was emotionally and physically and spiritually exhausted. It was like I was kind of walking through a haze. Have you guys ever felt like that? Yeah. I had some good friends who lived in Sarasota, just north of Fort Myers, and I planned on going directly on vacation after that. I planned well, apparently. So I was dropped off at their house on the way back as everybody made their way back to Iowa. And I remember standing in the hallway to their guest room. I had just walked in their door, and I have my bags on my shoulder. And my friend Ann was looking at me, and she was asking me how my trip went. And tears filled my eyes as I had no words to express what I was feeling. The only thing I did was hold up my shoes that I was holding in my right hand. And I just simply said, "I need new shoes." I tried through tears to explain what happened, and I just couldn't. I couldn't express myself emotionally or spiritually, but physically I just knew I needed new shoes. I slept for 2 days, and I could finally explain to them after 2 days what I experienced. And they listened, and they encouraged, and they loved me. Our scripture reading today is short, but this is the introduction to a much bigger story that takes up the next two chapters in Acts. We're going to go through a lot of information today. You don't need to remember it all. And we're going to go fast as I can. It describes Saul, who is now called Paul, his first missionary journey. Last week we read that Barnabas and Saul were sent to Judea with provisions for the churches there. And this week we read that they come back from that trip and they brought back with them a man named John Mark. There were a number of prophets and teachers in this little Antioch church, and through prayer they decided to send out Barnabas and Paul out on a journey, and John Mark went along with them to help them. Kaidi, can you put up the first map there? Yeah, that kind of gives you a picture, in a bigger sense, the first missionary journey of where they went. Seems like a short trip, and that is the shortest trip that they took, which was the first one. But then go to the next slide. I'm going to narrow it in a little bit. And I just simply have this up as a visual for you guys as we go through a number of stories. It seems I do need that little pointer thing.
It's easier if you have it.
All right. They started in a little place called Antioch right here. That's where the church was. And for them to set sail, they went to this little city, a coastal city, and they took a trip to Cyprus. And while they were in Cyprus, they went to Paphos. And at Paphos, there was a man that they met named Elymas, who was described as a magician and a false prophet. And he was with a proconsul named Sergius Paulus. A consul member was a person who held the highest elected political office. And a proconsul was the one who acted on behalf of the consul. And so the guy was not just a regular guy. He was important. He had power. And Elymas heard the message of Paul and Barnabas, and he opposed them and tried to convince the proconsul that what they were speaking wasn't the truth. And Paul had some choice words for this man, and Elymas was struck blind. And after that, the proconsul believed and was astonished by Barnabas and Paul's message about Jesus. Barnabas and Paul left the island of Cyprus and sailed to a place called Perga. So they went from here, and they sailed on to Perga. And it was in Perga John Mark left them. And maybe it was before, maybe he was on Cyprus. John Mark decided to leave and go back to Jerusalem. Now, we don't know why. Maybe John Mark wasn't able to handle the pressure of a missionary journey. Maybe he was homesick. Maybe he got sick. We don't know. But he left and he went home to Jerusalem. After Perga, they went to Pisidia, and they had their routine of going into the synagogues and into the churches, and they sat down and joined in. And at this time, Pisidia is a region, and they're actually in Antioch at this point. There's two Antiochs. That's where they were. And the leaders there were asking him to say some words of wisdom so that Paul stood up and he began to speak to them. He told an eloquent story of Israel, starting with Moses to Judges to David, and then he spoke of John the Baptist preparing the way for Christ. And then Paul spoke of Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross and rose from the dead. And then he backed it up with Old Testament scriptures. And remember last week when I said that Paul had a certain set of skills? This is one of his set of skills, that he had the ability to speak eloquently. Paul's words piqued the people's curiosity, and they invited him back the next Sabbath to speak more about this Jesus. And many who heard believed. So the next Sabbath, they come back to the synagogue, and almost the entire town showed up. But some of the Jewish members became jealous, and they began to contradict what Paul was saying. And then Paul said that since you, the Jews, have rejected it, we're going to turn to the Gentiles now. And so the Gentiles were glad. They were happy because God loves them. And I don't think they heard that quite often. But for some of the Jewish leaders, didn't think that. So they stirred up persecution and drove Paul and Barnabas out of the region. So they moved on to Iconium, They moved on to Iconium. And at that town, they again went to the synagogue, as they had the habit of doing. And they spoke, and many Jews and Gentiles believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and said that they were poisoning their minds against. And so Paul and Barnabas stayed there for a long time, and they stated their case, and they spoke boldly about what Jesus had done. And the city, the entire city, became divided. Some believed, some didn't. So a number of the unbelieving Gentiles and Jews teamed up with some of the rulers of the town, and they had a plan to stone them, to kill them. But Barnabas and Paul found out about it, and they fled, and they went to Lystra, right there. And it was in Lystra that Paul was preaching, and there was a man who was lame from birth. And he was listening to Paul, and Paul realized that this man had faith and was believing. And so he turned to this man and he said, "Stand up." And the scripture says the guy sprang up and started walking. And when the people of Lystra saw this, they thought Paul and Barnabas were gods that came down in human form. They called Barnabas Zeus, and they called Paul Hermes, because apparently Hermes talked a lot, and so did Paul. Barnabas and Paul tried to explain that they were only mere men, but the people wouldn't stop trying to offer sacrifices to them. But then, some of the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came down to Lystra, and they turned everybody against Barnabas and Saul. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside of the city, and they left him for dead. But the scripture tells us that the disciples surrounded him, and he got up and he went back into the city. And the next day, Barnabas and Paul went to Derbe. They proclaimed Jesus in Derbe, and they decided to return and backtrack through these towns. They went back to these towns, you know, the towns that, you know, people tried to kill them. And they encouraged the believers there in each of those towns. They appointed elders, and they started churches. And then they went back to the first Antioch church to report what they had seen. This map is wrong. They went to Derbe, but they didn't go back this way. They went back and revisited these places. And then they went back to Antioch. This was Paul's first mission trip. It was filled with ups and downs. It was filled with roller coaster moments. And I want to do something a little bit different today, and I hope that's okay. I hope you play along with me a little bit. I'm going to pretend to be Barnabas. I know I don't look anything like Barnabas, I'm sure. But let's pretend I'm Barnabas, and I come back from this mission trip, and you are the church in Antioch, and I am reporting back to you. And every time I say something good, I want you to give me a thumbs up and go, "Yes." Can we try that? Okay. Yes. Yes. And every time I say something kind of bad or negative, you go, "Oh, no." Okay, so let's try it. It goes, "Yes." And
no.
No. Okay. Well, hello, church. My name's Barnabas, and I'm here to report back to you from our mission trip that we took. Well, first of all, as you all know, that John Mark went with us to help us.
Yes.
Yes. And we went on our journey. We went to Cyprus, and this guy named Elymas was trying to turn the proconsul against us.
No.
No. But the proconsul became a believer. Then John Mark goes back home and he left us.
No.
Then we went on to the next city and we spoke in the synagogues about Christ.
Yes.
Yes. And they wanted to hear more.
Yes. Yes.
And they invited us back.
Yes.
And the whole town came out to hear us.
Yes.
But then jealousy reared its ugly head and people argued. But the Gentiles were happy to hear that God accepts them and loves them. But some people ran us out of town. But we got in the next town to speak in the synagogue again.
Yes.
But some people caused division in the entire town.
No.
Oh, you're weakening here.
No.
All right. Some people were planning to stone us.
No.
We had to flee for our lives.
No.
Not a yes. We had to flee for our lives. God healed a lame man through Paul.
Yes.
People thought we were gods. It could go either way, I think. But that's a no. And a bunch of people came from towns we already visited and spoke lies about us, and now everybody wants to kill us.
No.
Paul was stoned and left for dead.
No.
But Paul didn't die.
Yes.
And then we returned home safely.
Yes.
A lot of ups and downs. A lot of highs and lows. And it makes me wonder if Barnabas and Paul came back and they were emotionally and spiritually and physically exhausted. Did they have to get new shoes? Yes. Life is full of ups and downs, highs and lows, and sometimes life takes an emotional and spiritual and physical toll on us. Life exhausts us. And I know this because I have lived it. And I'm not talking just about the mission trip. I'm talking about life in general. And everybody sitting here in this holy place knows that too. You know that because you have lived it too. Life is unpredictable and it's full of ups and downs. So if you are here today and you are in an up moment in your life, maybe family has come to visit and you're just enjoying this time, I want you to know three things. Number one, it's okay to fully enjoy and revel in this moment. It's okay to do that. Number two, tell stories about how God has blessed you. And number three, know that you are thoroughly loved and adored by God. And if you are here today and you are in that down moment in life where things are just hard and you're struggling, I want you to know three things as well. Number one, it's okay to question, doubt, and be angry at God. It's okay. Number two, you are not alone. You are surrounded by people who want to support you and listen to you and love on you. And number three, know that you are thoroughly loved and adored by God. There are some times in life where we really don't know how to explain our situation or what we are experiencing. Our lows, we can't express ourselves emotionally or spiritually, but maybe the only thing we can say is stating what we physically need. Something like, I need new shoes. And maybe it's, I need a hug. I need chocolate. I need a friend. I need prayer. May we not be scared or ashamed of stating what we need as human beings. Life is full of the ups and downs, and it's part of our human experience. God has wired us for community. We need each other to function. We need each other to grow. We need each other to heal. Let us point each other to Christ, the ultimate comforter, the ultimate healer, the ultimate friend. And through the ups and downs, may Christ be our anchor and our rock that we go to when we need stability in our lives. My friends at Union Congregational, may our lives shine Christ in the darkest places, in our lives and in our friends' lives. May our lives shine Christ to those who have a hard time seeing God's love in this world. And may our lives shine Christ in our up moments and in our down moments. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I need you to sing with me, so. I'm going to do one called Simple Gifts, and I think it's particularly relevant to me today because I was born Quaker, and the Simple Gifts, the alternate title is the Quaker Hymn. So. Tis the gift to be simple, tis the gift to be free, tis the gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, we will not be ashamed. To turn, turn, will be our delight, till by turning, turning, we come round right. 'Tis the gift to be simple, 'tis the gift to be free, 'tis the gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, we will not be ashamed. To turn, turn, will be our delight, till by turning, turning, we'll come down right.
Let us take some time to share with each other our joys and concerns, our praises, and our prayer requests. Does anyone have a prayer request or a praise this morning? Don, can we get a light? Do we have one? We need... none of them work. Oh, does it work?
Nope.
Well, Don, we need a light. Let's share our joys and concerns while we wait for that. Myra?
I have two. I have a joy that Scott has gone through. He's going to have his third CyberKnife treatment tomorrow, and he has one more after that, and things are going very well. That's a joy, because we're always worried about that. The other thing I have is a really sad thing, is my nephew's son, Chad, was one of the two homicides in Minneapolis on Monday morning. He was found at 6 in the morning. He had been shot and killed. We know absolutely nothing about what happened. His family is devastated. He has a son who is going into high school in September. It is just, we just don't know how to deal with this. Thank you.
What was his name?
Chad.
Chad. Praying for Chad, his family, especially his son. Can I ask a question about your son, Scott? Your son, Scott, he has one more treatment to go through, you said?
Yes, two more. One tomorrow and one on Wednesday.
Two more, and everything is looking pretty good? Okay, all right. Yes, we will pray.
I would like to lift up Penny Swanham. Penny has not been here. She has been hospitalized for a psychiatric illness. And I've talked to her husband quite frequently, and he asked me to ask for prayers for Penny. And if we never talk about psychiatric illnesses, then we can't talk about our own issues. Excuse me, I'm getting really emotional. Anyway, she's a sweet, sweet lady. And she just really, she and Chuck really need our prayers.
Yeah. And Chuck did give permission to...
Charlie.
Charlie did give us permission to say that, because he really feels that that's important.
Back about late March, I think Joni asked for prayers for Pete Bundy. Many of you know him as your former mailman. Got a call from them. He went down to Arizona to go through cancer treatment. He had been doing really, really well. His numbers were turning out good. They wanted to keep him for another couple months into September. He called Friday night and said, his numbers have shot back up. The doctor says, I don't think we can do any more for you. So I think Tuesday after his last appointment, they're going to be heading back. He does have an appointment in Mayo in September. So I think we need to keep him in our prayers. They're very dear friends of ours. They're Sandy's son's in-laws. They're great people, but they need our prayers.
Pete.
I'd like to bring good news. I resolved what was to be resolved with the ferrogas. We weren't in trouble. We were just kind of lost. This is the 18th year that I've worked with ferrogas. And I tried to pass it off last year, unsuccessfully, the way it turns out. Because I've got calls all for the last month or two.
Okay.
But I have communicated, and I will try to get you more information so that you can put it in the bulletin and stuff.
Okay.
We now have, there are 50 families, entities that are taking advantage of the ferrogas situation. And I have a question. Is there a meeting at the hub tomorrow?
I thought. No.
Because the hub is in our group.
Okay.
They're not a group of their own.
Okay.
I've got a sweet gal by the name of Kendra up in Grand Rapids that handles this. She knows everything that's going on.
Well, how about Vern? I'm going to connect you with Ron Merritt, who is our facilities guy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have you two talk. And for those who don't live up here year round, propane is expensive, and so this is kind of a huge thing. So thank you, Vern, for following through with that. And I'm going to connect you. I don't know if Ron is here today, but I will give you his cell phone number. And thank you for doing that. And that is a praise. So praise God that we are not paying out the nose and the ear and the mouth for propane. So thank you. Any other prayer requests or praises?
Following Tori's advice, I would just like to revel in having spent a week listening to five little people daily say, Grandpa, Grandpa, Grandpa.
Then I have to say the same thing. My son and his wife were here with their four kids, ages 6 through 13. It was crazy. We just had the best time ever. And praise God for children and grandchildren and the joy and the laughter. And I know everybody here has experienced that. You can never have enough. Never, never. Thank you, Lord.
Some people are still waiting. But they will.
Any others? Joys or concerns? Let us go to God in prayer. God of mercy and kindness, God of joy and God of sorrow. We thank you, God, that you meet our needs no matter where we are at in life, during our up times and during our down times, that you ride this roller coaster of life with us. You strengthen us. You support us. You are our rock. You are our anchor. God, we admit sometimes that we don't live up to what you have designed us to do or designed us to be. And we take that moment of silence just to recognize our humanness and how we fail sometimes. And God, we know that you're a God of mercy and grace and forgiveness, and that you are faithful to forgive us, and that you create in us pure hearts, that you wash us and clean us up and set us proudly at your side to help bring your kingdom here on this earth. God, we thank you for families. We thank you for visits, that you have designed us for community, that you have designed us for relationship. And we thank you for those times where we can surround ourselves with those who we love the most. God, we thank you that you provide for us our physical needs, especially here at church when things get kind of expensive, like the gas. We thank you for Vern, that he is diligent and faithful to get the prices that we need so that we can survive another winter. We thank you, God, also for walking with Scott. God, it's been a long journey, a lot of ups and downs. And God, as he is approaching his last two treatments with cancer, I ask that you just continue to heal his body and keep his spirit strong. And God, we also pray for Chad's family and the violence that has occurred. God, sometimes we don't even know what to say, but we just ask that you move within that situation. When all hope is lost, when nothing good seems to come out of a situation, God, we know that in the midst of it, you are good. And we pray for Chad's family. We ask that you surround them and you comfort them and let them know that you are near. And we also pray for Pete as he is finishing his cancer treatment and probably heading here back home. We ask that you are with him and let him know that you are near. Let him know that you have him in your hands. And God, I ask that the days that are coming up that you surround him with family and friends and people who love him and people who tell him that you love him. And God, we pray for Penny. Psychiatric illness, mental health. We don't talk about it, but it is all around us, God. And we ask that you help us be honest and help us be bold. We pray for Penny and we pray for Charlie. We pray for Penny that you Let her know that you are real, that you are surrounding her, that you are protecting her, and that she is safe. And we pray for Charlie, that as he is home by himself, that you remind him that he is not alone, that you sit with him, and that you're guiding him and giving him strength. And God, we come to you, joined together in prayer, the prayer that Jesus has taught us to say. Our God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We have a stewardship moment.
Is this? Oh, it is. lucky you, you get me this week. I spend a lot of time thinking about stewardship, and it's always approached from a financial point of view, and my viewpoint is a little bit different. It is financial. This is a church home. It's like your homes. We have a lot of needs that need to be met. We have to pay the bills. We have to have the furnace running, the lights on, lots of things like that. Same things you do for your home. We do not call this our church house. We call it our church home. This is where our spirits come to be refreshed and renewed. And that takes more than money. Just like your house is a home, because you can have everything up and running properly, but if it's not filled with love and with people who give back and forth, you have a house, not a home. This is the same here. This is your spiritual home. This is God's home. This is where he wants us to come and gather and praise him and fill each other's lives with joy and hope the same way that he does. So this year, I'm asking you to do something a little bit different. And I'm not asking. The church is asking. We need this. I want you to make three commitments, three pledges this year. The very first one is to God. And that you pledge and commit your heart to God, to Jesus. Completely. Not part of your heart. Not a little piece for here and there. That's what a lot of us have done on Sundays. We come, we go, that's our fix, and that's that, and on we are, okay? That was enough. No, God wants your whole heart. He's always wanted your whole heart, always has. We give it to him in pieces. This year, I want you to commit all of your heart. He make him first. Before you do anything, think, what would God want me to do? So that's it. Number one, the most important one, you commit your whole heart to God and to Jesus. Second, we do need your finances. So fill out your pledge and send it in. Make that commitment. The third one is a commitment of time, of you, of your spirit, of who you are, that you will help this church grow and become and stay the church that God wants it to be. It can't do that without it. Finances are fine, but the spirit of this church is God's spirit in each one of us. And so that third commitment is huge. Not as huge as the first one, but pretty close, because it's you're honoring the first one. So commit your spirit to this church. That means maybe a little extra time to visit somebody in the church who needs to be lifted up, to have some care, to do things around the church that they're getting done, but they may be able to be gotten done a little bit easier, a little bit faster. So please, when you fill out that pledge, pledge number one, your heart to God, pledge your money to keep this church running, pledge your spirit and your time to be the church. Thanks.
Heidi, put her on the pulpit supply list. Will the ushers please come forward for the morning tithes and offerings?
When you're down in trouble, and your burdens, they seem to double, He takes your hand, He pulls you out, lifts your burdens, makes you want to shout. Jesus is all that I need in this world. Jesus is all that I need. He's the one gonna stand by me. Yeah, Jesus is all that I need. He'll be with you in the good times. He'll be with you when it's bad. He'll be right there in the sad times. Jesus is all that I need. Jesus is all that I need in this world. Jesus is all that I need. He's the one gonna stand by me. Yeah, Jesus is all that I need.
Please rise. Join me in prayer. God, we thank you for providing for our every need. We dedicate our lives and all that we have to the work of life, love, and peace. Receive our tithes and offerings as a gift back to you. Use them to further your kingdom. Amen.
Please join me in singing This Little Light of Mine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Receive now the benediction. But we have this treasure, God's light, in jars of clay, our human bodies, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So my friends, this week, shine God's light into this world. Shine Jesus to people. Amen.
I love playing here. So. Okay. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks for the great sound job. It's okay.
That's when a switch is good to have. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. I'm almost embarrassed to take that.